We have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Republicans are warning the Trump administration this week against imposing new tariffs on all Mexican imports. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin says there is a crisis at the border, and he's lining up behind a tariff on Mexican imports if it can be used as a bargaining chip to secure our southern border. Where do you stand on that move? What are you watching for when it comes to immigration and the border? What should Senator Johnson know as lawmakers negotiate legislation? Join in at 800-642-1234. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you doing?
Doing well. Let's start with President Trump's tariffs and what we are hearing on Mexico. So if the president and you support his 5% tariff on all goods from Mexico, and if it's used as part of negotiations to secure the border, is there a way forward through that type of plan?
Well, first of all, I completely understand President Trump's frustration with Congress not acting to solve this problem, and quite honestly, with Mexico not doing enough to help solve the problem as well. I met with the Mexican ambassador and foreign minister, and in that meeting asked them to move toward enacting a third safe country agreement with America, which would help deter that flow of people from Central America taking a very dangerous journey into America. This is completely out of control. We're already up to 400,000 unaccompanied children, mostly people coming in as a family unit, primarily one adult, one child, in just the first 8 months of this fiscal year. If we maintain May's rate, it'll be 800,000 by the end of September. So that compares with 120,000 in 2014. So this is a crisis that is growing. It's completely out of control, and we do have to do something. We have to act. I'm not a fan of tariffs. The president's fully aware of that. He's using tariffs, as what he says, is for leverage. If we can use a tariff as a leverage to get Mexico to enact a third safe country agreement, that'd be a good thing. I do not want to see these tariffs imposed. Tariffs are a tax on consumers. I'm painfully aware of that as well.
Let's bring in a call now. Jamie joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, good morning. I guess I just wanted to make a comment, Mr. Johnson, that I agree with you. I mean, I think tariffs are a pain, but perspective, I think people don't want it. And I do, in the sense that long term, I want this country and this community for my children to be successful. And I want my children to be better than me. And I think that tariffs will help give us leverage as get us, get our jobs back here and get good pay versus exporting all this stuff. So I support that. And I just want you to know that there are people that support what you guys are doing and what President Trump is doing. Thank you.
Jamie, thanks for the call. I want to push back there a little bit. Mexico's Secretary for Agriculture and Rural Development said the ag industry would lose $1.4 billion a year with a 5% tariff. Is this risky?
All the trade war is risky. It's very unfortunate that our trading partners have for decades taken advantage of America's generosity. We've opened up our markets and we have not had reciprocal treatment. Other presidents have tried, but we still do not have fair and reciprocal treatment. President Trump is absolutely dedicated to this, and this is my message. I've got a call into the Mexican ambassador. It'd be a different vote here if there's required a vote of disapproval on a National Emergency Act in order to enact these tariffs. But I'm not sure that there'd be the votes to override the veto. So the Mexicans have to take this threat seriously. And again, that's how President Trump is trying to use these tariffs to gain leverage, to get our trading partners to do the right thing. In this case, Mexico to step up the plate and do a whole lot more to reduce the flow of people coming in as family units and unaccompanied children, taking a very dangerous journey. And by the way, being taken advantage of by human traffickers. That's a dimension of the story that's not being told enough. We were just down the border at McAllen with a couple Democrat colleagues, and one of the stories we heard was about a three-year-old boy who was abandoned in a Texas field once his fraudulent parent, obviously not a real parent, just left him behind, did have the courtesy of writing a phone number on the boy's shoe so you could contact somebody. But that is a dimension, the involuntary servitude. We're seeing these family units showing up at stash houses because they haven't paid their human trafficker. They owe them a debt. The human traffickers know who their families are back in Central America, so you have that level of extortion. again, we're just not showing that aspect, that dimension, the evil, wicked trade of human trafficking that is a huge dimension of this problem.
Lots of people would wish to talk with you. Let's go to Scott now in Whitewater with thoughts. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, Senator Johnson, one of the attractants to the illegal immigration is definitely the economic opportunity and coming here to work. Would you support a bill to go after Wisconsin farmers who hire illegal immigrants? Should they go to prison? Should they lose their farms? President Trump has already pardoned a couple people who were imprisoned and arrested for hiring illegal immigrants, basically saying go out and do it again. I mean, should we imprison Wisconsin farmers for hiring illegal immigrants knowingly?
Scott, thanks for the call. And we know our dairy industry here in Wisconsin relies heavily on migrant labor. Senator Johnson?
Precisely. That's exactly why I introduced a 3-year guest worker program administered and managed by the states. We don't have enough workers in this country, not in Wisconsin, not for agriculture, not for manufacturing, but it has to be a legal process. It is a legitimate concern if we have too many immigrants come to this country. They can depress American wages, but primarily, those would be people coming to this country illegally that can be exploited by unscrupulous employers. That's what depresses American wages. So we have to turn it from an illegal process that's completely out of control to a legal process where we hopefully can fine-tune the number of people we grant legal permanent residency to every year that is more based on jobs. Right now, it's probably less than 10% of the 1.1 million people is job-related. It's mainly family reunification. And we need to make sure that we have the right number based on what kind of economic growth we're expecting. Right now, we're only growing our labor force by about 0.5%. That is going to limit economic growth in the future, and we need economic growth to solve, I don't care what problem you're talking about, our debt and deficit, the fact that we're helping out our military. We need stronger economic growth. We're going to need more workers, but it has to be a legal process, not an out-of-control illegal process that we have in place right now.
Let's turn to abortion policy changes. You said you oppose Alabama's new law, which aims to eliminate almost all abortions. And you also said you'd like to impose a national ban after 20 weeks using legislation similar to what Wisconsin has on the books. What's your reasoning behind that idea?
I think most people I talk to agree with the concept that at some point in time, society does have the obligation to protect life in the womb. And what was unfortunate about Roe v. Wade is the Supreme Court made that decision for everybody rather than going through a democratic process. Obviously, it didn't solve that social problem. We still have this being a very divisive issue in our politics. Far better if Americans, by voting for people, could come to the conclusion at what point in time should we protect life in the womb. That's my basic position, and what I have co-sponsored is pain-capable basic viability somewhere in the 21-week time frame, I think, is a very reasonable point in time. I acknowledge that people have different views on this, different moral views, but at some point in time, we should be protecting that life in the womb.
Well, your future plans came up during the state Democratic convention over the weekend. Governor Evers referenced doing things like blocking efforts to overturn the Affordable Care Act, increasing funding for public schools. What efforts need to be made at the grassroots level and higher on up in terms of what you see as the future for the Republican Party?
Well, I think that in our post-election assessment after 2018, I think the area that we need to improve on as Republicans is really focus on grassroots effort and have a state party that primarily supports the county parties. And the county parties' jobs are going to be more robust. They need to identify and recruit volunteers. They need to identify and recruit candidates for every line of the ballot. Again, I want to create this grassroots juggernaut that can win elections in any political environment. And the way you do that is really focus on the grassroots.
Well, Senator Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great day.
You too. Senator Ron Johnson is a Republican representing Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. Just ahead, we look at the economic situation for millennials, the challenges they face, and the role baby boomers played in where young people are today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.